100 people matter. So there's a little tension there.
The one question that you did kind of get dumped on, though, was that, because we're all talking about from a redistricting perspective, but then somebody made a pragmatic point, and they said, well, let's say a town actually has 2,500 or 3,500 people, but because of noise, it displays them at 2,500 people. That's a really big difference in federal funding. That's, a huge difference. So the noise to us from a statistical difference might not mean anything, but for an individual community, if it's kind of being fudged like that, and she didn't really have a great answer to that. She was actually like, oh, yeah.
It's still an issue, and it's something that we're going to have to, we already talked to Eric Sandberg. I was on Tuesday TJ. We had a joint call with him, and he said a lot of the same things, but, a little differently. So he's aware of it. We're just going to have to track the issue. And the other thing is the census hasn't decided how much noise they're going to add. They have this one variable in the equation where they can dial up the power or dial down the power of the noise, the amount of noise, and they haven't decided yet. Like, there's a committee.
Speaking of noise, can you hear there's a truck outside with a pump going? Is that – you don't hear that background noise?
No, okay. And by the way,
maybe they can make some exceptions in terms of how much noise is put in for.
I don't know. I want the real numbers of the noise, but obviously that's a privacy thing. The census doesn't care. They're not going to give us the real numbers just because we're special. How do you say her name? Dana or Deanna? Anyway, she dialed in. The teleconference line is connected. She heard me. Yeah, so we're networked in. People, members of the public, will be able to hear, the conversation as they did last time. So that's working, and I expect our other members to join us here hopefully shortly.
Okay. Great.
Check my email here for any.
I'm going to go close my door.
Anyway, I forwarded you the direct link to the other members, too, for each.
I was just doing that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I realize, a week is a long time, and it's easy to lose sight of that email. Yeah. And, hey,
typically, it links to my calendar, my Outlook calendar.
Hi, Bethany.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, good.
Hi, Bethany.
Good to see y'all.
Yeah, nice to see you.
I love your backdrop.
Oh, that's just my house. I'm not the office today because I was not going into the office for a 6 a.m. NCSL briefing this morning. So, but it was worth it getting up for that one. That was a really good one, I thought.
We were just talking about that, how great that was. I mean, a lot to take in, but, boy, it was sure interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was fascinating.
Thanks.
It really
I think Melanie's joining us. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. It's saying video isn't working, though. We couldn't use your webcam for video, and I've never had this problem before.
Oh.
Can you not?
No, it just has your initials, but your audio quality is good.
Okay. I don't know why it wouldn't be able to use my webcam.
Maybe it was open in another program?
I don't know. I'm going to leave and then try to rejoin. How about that?
Okay.
Hi, bud.
Hi.
I'm getting together.
I just unfolded my camera.
So do you have a separate camera? Mine is just in my laptop.
That's where mine is, too, but I'm using a different screen. So
okay.
If I'm talking and I look like I'm talking to someplace else, that's why.
Melanie's going to try and redirect, and I think... And the public teleconference is connected.
Okay.
Oh, there you are, Robin.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked. Yay. Hey, everybody. Happy Friday.
It is. Yeah. It's good to see you.
Sounds like Nicole's joining us as well. Nicole, do you hear us?
This is me. I say hi, Peter. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Nicole. I can't see you.
I know. I'm a little zoomed out. I hope you guys don't mind this.
Good way of putting it. Zoomed out. 3 days in a row. Hours of Zoom.
Well, I think we've got everybody here. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. And my understanding is that the public lines are open. Anybody who's called in can and would be listening right now. So I think I got that confirmation from Peter a little bit earlier, and we'll assume that's the case. Peter, if you could please establish that we have a quorum present.
Bethany Markham, are you present?
Present.
Melanie Bonkey, are you present?
I'm here.
Nicole Borromi, are you present?
Yes, sir.
Now, Bud Simpson.
I'm here.
And John Binkley, chair.
I am here.
Excellent. Chairman, we have a full committee with us today.
Great. We have a fairly short agenda. The agenda, host agenda, has been sent out. Has everybody gotten a copy of that?
Yes.
Okay, I would look for a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Nicole, so I move.
In a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adopt the agenda as presented. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's adopted, and we have the agenda before us. The first item is for discussion on the request for information for legal services, two items, sub-items under that, timeline for the RFI closing, and routing of RFI-related inquiries. Peter, if you could give us a rundown on those items.
Thank you, yes. The RFI appears in your board packet on pages 2 through 5 or 6. You'll notice on page 3 that submissions are required by January 29. The idea there was I was following up on some board feedback that would give respondent firms a full 3 work weeks in January to develop their response. Obviously, we want quality responses. There's some tension between getting good responses and also moving as quickly as we can. And the thinking was that 3 full weeks was adequate. I just wanted to put that before the board for any additional feedback, concerns about that timeline.
Okay. Discussion on that? How do board members feel about that timing?
Mr. Chairman, this is Nicole. I believe that that's adequate timing, Mr. Chairman. This is Nicole.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Bud?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think it's adequate as well. I certainly would not want it any shorter, so I think it strikes a compromise between giving the respondents plenty of time and our need to get this thing moving, so it's fine.
Okay. Bethany?
I was just going to say, I believe it's sufficient time. I think the pool of qualified bidders is probably going to be somewhat small, and those folks are probably going to be on the lookout for this. And so while we do want to give opportunity for everyone who would be qualified to participate, I think that, you know, this is the sort of thing that someone would be already prepared for, ideally, because we're looking for folks who have experience, right, doing this. So I feel it's sufficient time.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, the other item, subtopic, really was the routing of the RFI. How will these come into the board? Who will be responsible for them? How will that information be disseminated? Peter?
Yeah, so initially I thought maybe we should have, you know, more than one contact point, but feedback from board members was, I thought, insightful that we should be careful that respondents don't have any direct contact with board members prior to there being a proper vetting interview process. So it's believed that having a single point of contact, my address in this case, I'll bring all field inquiries. If they're logistical in nature, of course, I'll just answer them. If there's anything having to do with the merits of the RFI or some other type of question, I would obviously raise that to the attention of the board for feedback from members. To address maybe something that we don't, some question we haven't thought of yet. So that's my intention, is to get logistical inquiries immediately, respond to them, and then anything with any type of policy or substantial weight to explore that feedback. And I would collect those responses, and if necessary, obviously, we would talk more about it, and then I would respond to the inquiry from a single. So that's the intention with the way it's phrased right now, the contact information, and how I would expect to handle incoming questions.
Okay, any questions on that for Peter or TJ from board members? Melanie?
I just want to say I think that makes sense. I don't want to be contacted or be a point of contact or, you know, having responses going to multiple people. One person, and, you know, have it be you, Peter. That works great for me.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Then we do have item 5 related to the adoption of the request for information for legal services. And first, I would like to just thank Bud and Nicole for their efforts in working on this and putting it together. I had a chance to go over and look at it. It looks great to me, and I was very pleased with their work, and would certainly want to thank them for that. So maybe to get discussion started on it, we could look for a motion to adopt the request for services that was in our packet.
I'll make it up.
Okay, move to adopt by Bethany. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Pat. Is there discussion on the motion? Maybe a discussion. Go ahead, Melanie.
I don't know if you all were able to see my email yesterday with a suggested addition to qualifications. I know Bethany did. She responded. My suggestion was that we add that, there shouldn't be a conflict of interest with whichever firm. In terms of if they're currently or previously were engaged in litigation that would be like trying to affect the outcome of our decision or a prior redistricting board decision for one political party or another. And I'm not an attorney, so I don't know what ethical, guidelines attorneys have to follow, but it seems like there's something to do with conflict of interest. I mean, you couldn't obviously be representing two opposing clients at the same time, right? So maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, and it's already taken care of with, ethical requirements that they have to abide by. So I'd like some feedback from my fellow board members on that email that I had sent the other day.
Okay, Bud, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I like what Melanie caught that and is concerned about issues of conflict of interest. But in the end, on something like this, it's critical for us to have legal representation with the right experience. And for the most part, the way attorneys would get that experience is by having been involved in matters just like ours at some point. Hey, Jack Campbell.
Mr. Chair, I'm getting a lot of like a motor sound in the background,
yeah.
So it's hard to hear. I don't know what that noise is.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the last part of what Bud said.
There's a pump truck going right outside my window. I'll hit mute here. It's probably mine.
Okay, thanks. But I'm sorry, I couldn't really hear what you were saying.
Okay. It's good that you thought about
conflicts of interest, and that's something we should be aware of and alert to. But in the end, I feel like the most critical thing for us is to have the most highly qualified legal representation. And the way they get qualified and get that experience is through having had some kind of litigation on one side or the other. It doesn't matter which side, but I think if we made it a condition in the RFI that they couldn't have ever represented one side or the other in a similar kind of case, there wouldn't be anybody left that had ever done this before. And so what I think is that we don't put that into the RFI, but we can be alert to the kinds of cases that respondents have handled and, you know, take that into consideration as we evaluate the proposals. So, you know, if we think that somebody would not have the ability to be objective and to follow our instructions, then we don't have to hire them. But I would still like to see all the proposals we can get so we have the most opportunities to choose from qualified counsel. So that's my take on it, that we shouldn't make that a condition, but conflicts are still something that we should consider when we look at it. Thank you, Mr.
You bet. I think as I heard it too, Melanie stated it as either previous or current conflicts. And I think current conflicts, certainly. We wouldn't want anybody that was currently engaged with a political party or some entity that was hired to engage in the redistricting process. But previous is a different story. I think, and that's what Bud was alluding to, that many of the really good firms would have had previous experience on one side or the other, and we shouldn't preclude them from participating.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to ensure that whatever legal counsel we retain is neutral and objective, and maybe that simply needs to be changed to say current instead of prior.
Bud?
Mr. Chair, if they have a current conflict of interest, I don't think that they will apply. You know, for example, if a firm has been retained by a political party to, you know, represent it in the redistricting process, I would disqualify them, you know, but I don't think they'll apply either.
Mr. Chairman, this is Nicole. Can I get in the queue?
You bet, please. I can't see your hand, so.
I'm jumping up and down and waving here. just kidding. Anyway, I just wanted to add to the conversation that in terms of conflict of interest, the rules of professional conduct are quite clear about this, and all attorneys are expected to abide by them. So I wouldn't expect a firm that has a clear conflict to be bidding on this. And in terms of previous work, we do ask in the RFP for them to state their specific experience. So that would be one area that we could, as a board, delineate what they've done in the past and then talk about any concerns or other comments we have about their work amongst ourselves. But we should entertain a very wide bidding process since we're getting started a little bit later, and this is only going to be open for 3 weeks.
I'm ready to move forward with things as they are then. Like I said, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know what ethical restrictions they're bound by. When I mentioned, you know, obviously we can't be litigating for one party and also representing the other party, so I'm good to go if that's not something that I have to worry about. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. Any other discussion on the motion? There is a motion before us to adopt the request for information as presented. Is there any objection to the motion? If there's no objection, the motion is adopted, and we can proceed with that RFI. That's really the only action item on the agenda. Any other information or thoughts from board members for the good of the order? Staff, TJ or
Mr.
Peter?
Mr. Chairman. Oh, John,
go ahead,
Chairman,
Nicole.
This is Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole.
Hi, I just wanted to thank Peter and TJ. They're really the ones that did a lot of the heavy lifting on the RFI, and while Bud and I are happy to take all of the credit, we should give credit where credit is due. So I want to say thank you to our very capable director and deputy director.
Well noted. Thank you, Nicole. Bud?
Yeah, I meant to say that too. I didn't mean to like sit here and take credit for their work. So they did all the heavy lifting.
Okay, so the two gold medals that we were going to present to you and Nicole are by default now going to TJ and Peter.
Yeah, we'll take a bronze.
Peter?
I just have one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I sent around a draft for board procurement procedures. Do we want to give them a moment to just describe that, or do we need to do something with it, or what's our next step with that?
Good point. Peter? You're on mute, Peter.
You're muted. There you go. Thank you. That's a great question. I received feedback from a member with some changes. I want to review those, and then any other feedback members have, incorporated into a final document, and my intention would be to bring that before the board at our next meeting, sort of for formal final adoption. With the rest of our schedule this week, I felt like cramming that into was maybe a little bit much. So my intention is to bring that before the board at our next meeting.
Okay. I have a question. Is that going to prohibit you from doing any purchasing or, you know, any of the business that you need to be doing? Because I reviewed that, and I didn't have any issues with what you sent. I don't know if other board members had a chance to review it or need time, but I don't need time. I'd be ready to approve it today if others are.
Mr. Chairman, I'm in the same boat as Melanie. I've done an extensive review, and I'm ready to approve if others are.
I'm prepared.
I'll go.
Okay, it's not an item on the agenda, but we can certainly modify the agenda, and that would probably be the proper course, is to make an adjustment to the agenda and then take that up as a topic. So I would entertain a motion to amend the agenda to add the item of approving the procurement policy as presented by staff.
So moved.
Is there a second to the motion?
This is Melanie. I'll second.
Okay. A motion before us to amend the agenda to add an item 6, which is approval of the procurement code. Is there any discussion on the motion? Bud?
Mr. Chair, I would just note that the changes that staff made in this were largely ministerial. And we had discussed this in our last meeting in terms of our directions to them as far as what we wanted to see from them. They provided that, so this isn't actually the first time this has come up. So, and then they provided this draft several days in advance so that members could have a chance to look at it. So, I think just for the good of the order, we should go ahead and approve it so that they've got something to work from. Thank you.
Thank you, Bud. That's a good point. And just for members of the public, too, so that their understanding of what the procurement code is, there were a couple of options for us. One was the general state procurement code, and one was the legislative procurement code. And since we've been funded and adopted, really, or convened through the legislative side of the equation, we felt it appropriate to adopt the legislative code.
Generally, however, there are areas within that code where it refers back specifically to the legislature or the legislative council on actions, and we generally just replace those with the board since those entities aren't involved directly with our business. So I think that's kind of an encapsulation. Peter or TJ, maybe you could expand on that a little bit, or correct if I'm wrong.
No, Mr. Chairman, that's accurate. The one additional change, which was of substance, was we redefined interested parties as not someone who might just take an interest because they think they could have got the job, but we restricted interested parties, which are people who could protest a contract award, to people who had actually responded with a bid or an offer. So that was a request from the board. I think it's an advisable one. It shows in the draft. And for members of the public, as quickly as possible after this meeting, I will post the revised marked-up document to the public documents tab of this meeting so that members of the public could then actually download and see the 22-page document with all the marked-up changes as part of public record. So that'll be available as soon as possible. And I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? And remind me, we've already adopted the agenda change, right? So we're on the main motion now. Any other discussion on the main motion to adopt? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted. So let's see. I think any other items that board members want to bring up? Bethany?
I just had a question. There's another audio caller that's on the call, and I just didn't know who that was. I see Nicole's number, but there's another number that ends in 19.
Yeah, yes. Oh, I can answer that. Yeah, that's the teleconference number calling from Juneau that is operated by the LA operator. So that's a muted line. That's where the public is able to listen into the audio stream of our meeting today.
Gotcha. I just hadn't seen that last time. I appreciate that. Thank you. I just want to make sure we know who's on with us. Thank you, Peter.
Peter, did you have another comment? I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I have one other item just on the RFI, just so that members are aware. We will, of course, post this to the TJ, and I have been working the last 3 or 4 days to get access to the statewide public notice system. Previously, our board meetings were just posted to the AK Ledge system, which is okay, but we are now posting to the full statewide public notice system. We'll be posting the RFI there early Monday morning. We are also in dialogue with the Alaska Bar Association, and we're confident we're either going to be able to email their list, the RFI, or have them posted on their social media feeds. So we're also pursuing other channels to be sure that as many attorneys in Alaska as possible are aware that the RFI is out and on the street.
That's great. We appreciate that extra effort. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn. Or should we talk about next meetings, or are you going to – will you reach out to us, Peter and TJ, in terms of – okay. Okay. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
This is Melanie. I'll move to adjourn.
Okay, Melanie, you got it.
I'm trying to give my other board members, I feel like I'm always making motions.
No, that's great. We appreciate it. How about a second?
I'll second. This is Nicole.
Okay, Nicole. Motion before us to and seconded to adjourn. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.